On today's show, we'll be taking a look at Jabari Smith Jr.'s shooting numbers and his defensive numbers. How has he progressed and really turned things around as a shooter since the All-Star break compared to earlier this season? And we'll take a look at some of the advanced stats and the suggestions that Jabari's defense is truly impactful. What are the differences when he plays at the power forward position versus the center position? All of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you listen to your podcasts, including YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. I want your thoughts on Jabari Smith Jr.'s progression throughout his rookie campaign. Give me your thoughts on his shooting. Give me your thoughts on his defense. All of that. Now, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And as always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets part of your day every single day, whether it's on the way to work, in your lunch break, at the gym, wherever it is. Thank you for making Locked On Rockets part of your day every single day. Joining us now is your weekly co-host, none other than the X's and O's man himself, Ali Khan Bijani, who can follow on Twitter at Rockets_insider. And on today's show, we're going to do a bit of a deep dive here, focusing on Jabari Smith Jr. He's been pretty sensational as of late in his most recent game against the Lakers. He came back down to earth just a little bit, but still an impactful game, and one of the reasons that the Rockets were able to win that game. And one of the biggest things that has been kind of a recent development with Jabari, we've seen it at points throughout the season, but has been Steven Silas employing him at the center position situationally over the course of a game, or in the case of the Boston Celtics win, starting him in place of Alperen Şengün at that five spot. So we're going to take a look at Jabari's defense at the five spot, how his defensive approach to the game can kind of coincide with Alperen Şengün, and can those two guys really coexist and kind of benefit each other from being on the floor, sharing that space together. But where we're going to start is Jabari's shooting, because Jabari has kind of, it feels like he's taken it, you know, turned a corner, I guess, as far as his shooting numbers are concerned, Ali Khan. It really looks like, A, he's shooting with a lot more confidence now, and B, he's converting at a substantially higher clip than he was, except for there was that point earlier in the season where he was shooting like lights out, like 50%, but it really does feel like he's kind of settled into what his offensive identity can be with this Rockets team.
I have a stat for you, Jackson.
Ooh, I love
Jabari's stats. Jabari's the first player of any age to have averaged 24 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block, and 3 threes made, shooting 60% or better from the floor in a 3-game span. Yes, that is a very specific stat.
I'm so sorry. I hate NBA stats. They're so, like, Jabari was the first player with his left hand on the second Wednesday of the month to do, like, that's what it sounds like.
Hey, man, we're hyping up Jabari. And For my homies who love Şengün, I got a stat for you too later on, all right? I'm not just hyping up Jabari. I'm hyping up Şengün too, because I get called out on YouTube video last time for saying that I'm not giving Şengün enough props. I give every player enough props. But anyways, yeah. Look, man, he's shooting the ball at a more efficient clip, right? He's shooting it not forcefully. He's allowing the offense to get to him, and whenever he starts building that confidence throughout the game, he's taking those shots in transition, which he took earlier in the season, but now he's making them, right? And so I think a lot of it, honestly, Jackson, has to do not only with confidence, but his mechanics.
Well, and he has this, like, it's so weird because mechanically, when you look at his shot, there's nothing wrong with his form. Like, his form looks incredible, but then there have been some moments, right? People have pointed out, okay, maybe he's not getting enough leg, not enough arc on the shot, things like that. And it does, like, I actually noticed it during the Lakers game. He had a pull-up mid-range shot that he missed, and he missed it a little bit short. And I wonder if the reason why is because when he pulled up, he pulled up and he was leaning back, like he was fading away rather than just a straight up and down, like going vertical, proper form, like all that. He didn't have a defender anywhere near him, so it's not like he needed to fade. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of, like, he's still getting used to, you know, how much leg he needs to put in his shot at certain spots on the floor at the NBA level, especially that three-point line is a little bit further back. So him adjusting to that has been really important. But you just look at kind of the leap that he's taken post All-Star break, and the numbers are actually kind of what we thought they would be coming into the season. So Jabari post All-Star break, first off, he's shooting a little over 55% true shooting post All-Star break, which is substantially better than 50% true shooting, which is where he was at pre All-Star break. His 3-point percentage is up to 35% post All-Star break, and he's shooting 46% from the floor. So the percentages across the board are better, minus his free throw shooting. He, and even like the other night, he tweeted out a GIF after the Lakers game, and he was like, you know, it was a GIF of like a Detroit Pistons player missing, like airballing a free throw. And clearly he's taken it all, you know, he's frustrated with himself. He shot 4 of 8 at the free throw line. He missed a lot of gimmies. I wouldn't be too overly concerned with Jabari's free throw percentage at least at this current point.
You know, I went back, Jackson, and I did some digging. So do you want to hear my digging, what I found on Jabari's shot?
Absolutely.
You know, it's going to take me a few minutes. I want our listeners to bear with me. Kind of wrote down some points that I want to make. So balance, like you mentioned, Jackson, of the lower leg, right? Using your legs. It's so important, just as is the quickness of the release, the height of the release, just the overall fluidity from getting ready to shoot to actually shooting and landing. So those are all important. I think you also have to look at the consistency of the shot. Is the shooter able to replicate the same motion every time? And that's a key question you have to ask when you're watching guys shoot, especially when they're going off the catch, right? Like Jabari does. The problem with Jabari has been how inconsistent he has been with his balance and mechanics, which is something I think has a lot to do with his confidence more than anything else. He has been vocal about it. Steven Silas has been vocal about it. His teammates have been vocal about it, about how Jabari wants to be successful. He puts all this pressure on himself. And I think that can sometimes lead to overthinking or just taking you away from things that you normally do. For example, let's say you know how to drive, right? You're driving on the freeway in Houston, or you're driving on the road. Sometimes when your mind is occupied or you're thinking about other things, sometimes like, wait, how much do I have to turn my steering wheel, or what happened here? You have moments just where you sometimes forget some of the very basic things that you're so used to doing day after day.
Things that are usually second nature become like manual. Exactly. You're overthinking. Like when somebody tells you about, like, you're noticing you're breathing and then you start manually breathing, you're like, oh God, how do I breathe? Like you freak
blinking,
out a little
the
bit.
Blinking, you're like, you can't stop paying attention to your blinking, right? That's a better example. Like, yeah, the breathing in that is a good example. He's second guessing. And the Rockets coaches in recent weeks have been working with him to, there's a couple of stories out, and Steven Silas talked about it, where they're trying to work on getting Jabari more square, to square his body on his shot, working on his balance. He's been working with John Lucas and Rick Higgins. Vanessa Richardson of AT&T Sportsnet had a report during the first quarter of the Lakers game where she said she spoke to Jabari Smith Sr. They've been going back to the basics and working on his basic mechanics and working in the gym together. So clearly this is a thing that he's been working on, figuring out what is happening, going back to his basics of his beautiful jump shot, a big part of why he was drafted or touted as a potential number one overall pick. So I went back and watched the games from his first 2 weeks of the season, January, and then the last 2 weeks. And if you look at the biggest difference in his form, it's actually from his upper body and his feet. So once he went into the air, you mentioned, right, he leans back. Oftentimes his back was straight, right? And he did not have the proper balance and momentum on his shot. When your back is straight, it's kind of hard to have that. It would often mean that his shot was long or just not close at all. Recently, he's been much better about not just bending his knees, but bending his hips, essentially leaning forward and having his head and shoulders positioned at or in front of his feet, which really helped with his balance. So he's been doing that, and by the time this episode will go out, I'll have pictures up for our listeners to be able to look at the examples of what I'm talking about. Just look at the shape and angle of his body and positioning. You'll see one where it's a straight back, or like Jackson mentioned, leaning back versus leaning forward, and how that's just such an important part of your mechanics. Because if you fail to bend at the hips, right? People bend at the knees, but bending at the hips, it kind of forces you to bring your shoulders forward, right? Your head forward. If you fail to do that, the body is too straight and just negatively affects your shot. So I'm sure, you know, in practice they've talked about he's always making his shots in practice, and he can because of his high release and other things. But working on his form, you can just tell, because not only is he making shots, he's making pure shots. It's not even touching the net, some of these three-point shots that he's making. And that's so impressive for a player of his release point and his height. And I think that's a big reason why his confidence is growing. But this mechanical change I'm seeing, kind of just going back to the basics, working on his landing, right? He's a sweep and sway kind of guy. He kind of leans his feet forward, right, as he's going up. His landing has gone better. His just kind of mechanic with his footwork has gone better. So the balance is not just about getting the shot up, but also when the ball, whenever you're in the air and the ball is going in the air, how are you landing? That is also improved as well. So the key is I'm seeing those mechanics come back. The next step is going to be, Jackson, can that become a consistent part of his shooting ability?
And monitoring how Jabari Smith Jr. looks with his shooting stroke, all of that from here to the end of the regular season, is definitely one of the main things we're going to be focused on, seeing how Jabari can close out his rookie year. And of course, we'll keep you guys covered for all of that right here at Locked On Rockets. But coming up, we're going to keep things focused on Jabari Smith Jr. We're going to shift gears and talk about his defensive impact over these last few games, specifically him at the five, defending that center position, and how he can work in tandem with Alperen Şengün. We're going to get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's most electric player of the week is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. And this week, it's got to go to Kevin Porter Jr. He has been a difference maker for this Rockets team since coming back from injury, and he's played quite a bit differently in the post-All-Star break stretch, where he really has been pushing the pace quite a bit more. He's been playing with quite a bit more tempo. Talk about electricity. KPJ has played very electric since coming back from his toe injury. There's a very distinct feel with how brilliant he's been with some of his passing, his playmaking, the creativity, finding his teammates, getting guys involved. I mean, you go to the Celtics game, he had 13 assists in that game. He had 25 potential assists on top of that. So again, Kevin Porter Jr.'s play has been otherworldly at this point. He's got this duality to his game, right, where he's such a threat to score, it allows him to create for others. That's kind of the two-part thing for Kevin Porter Jr. and how he approaches these games. So if you need a bit more electricity in your life and KPJ's electric play isn't enough for you, then you can go check out the 2023 Nissan Ariya, which packs pin-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one electric vehicle. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about Jabari Smith Jr. and his defensive impact, specifically with him at the five spot, Alikon, which is something we've seen a handful of times this season. We've seen the Rockets deploy it situationally against certain matchups. Jabari's actually started at the five spot four different occasions now, and the Rockets are 3-1. When he starts at the five. And this has kind of sparked a whole new discussion, debate, dilemma about what the future is for Jabari, what the future is for Şengün. Can those two guys coexist and play well off one another? Let's focus on Jabari's impact defensively at the five first, and then we'll, you know, in segment three, we'll kind of, you know, unpack a little bit more and get into, you know, how those two guys can, you know, still coexist with one another, or, you know, does it mean, you know, one versus the other at this point? So with Jabari's defense at the five, I talked about this a little bit the other day, but I'm very curious your thoughts on this. I think it just simplifies the entire defensive scheme for the Rockets, ultimately, is what it achieves, because they're able to switch everything. And that just makes everything easier on all parties involved. All five players on the court have an easier time when Jabari is playing the five spot.
You know, it's been very interesting to see the Rockets kind of go back and play a style of play. And this has been happening throughout the season, and I think it's been a lot more of a talking point now because Alperen Şengün has not played during one of these stretch games when Jabari's gone off. And also they've been going to a closing lineup with a small ball lineup, but they've been doing this through the course of the season. That, and I'm talking about two different types of defenses. The first type of defense is when Alpi is playing with Jabari. And in that case, they've been doing this actually since the start. Well, they'll switch everything but the pick and roll action involving Alpi. Next is when Jabari's at the five. Let's talk more about that right now. I know we're doing another segment on Alperen Şengün and Jabari together. We can discuss that too then. But Jabari at the five, like you said, it simplifies things. The goal for the Rockets defensively is not to have them on the help side. It's to keep him in the middle of the floor. The reason why is because it's easier, theoretically right now, for their defense if Jabari can stay in front and he doesn't get lost when he's in space. If he's in the middle of the floor, you have help on the left and on the right. A guy can stunt over. They can kind of dig at the nail. They can do all these different things where they lunge at the basketball and help Jabari make up for what he lacks maybe right now laterally defensively. And just based off of his wingspan, you're allowing him to be able to take away a three-point shot and force a defender to funnel and drive in and get into rotation. And in that sense, a rotation is a little bit easier for this team compared to how they normally get into rotation when they're switching to when they're playing drop coverage. And you know what's interesting? I have a few stats for you, Jackson. This is from Clean the Glass. Okay, this is not offense, because offense, a lot of it is obviously not too good from Jabari's big chunk of the season, how he was not shooting the ball extremely well. But defensively, he's played 12% of his possessions at the five. 79th percentile in points per possession, 92nd percentile in effective field goal percentage, 72nd percentile in turnovers forced. Compare this to when he plays power forward and the percentages are the percentile. 12 percentile in points per possession.
Yee.
17th percentile in effective field goal percentage.
Yee.
8th percentile in turnover percentage. Offensive rebounding, since he has a power forward spot, he's playing with another big, so it's much better than it is when he's at the center spot. But it's very interesting, right? Now, like 88% of his possessions are at the four, 12% are at the five. Not enough data for me to be able to say this is how it's going to be moving forward, but I think it at least initiates a conversation for us to have. Is Jabari at the five a tool the Rockets can use moving forward? Now, I know you're going to ask me this, Jackson, so I'm going to answer it for you. Do I think this is viable long-term and an everyday thing for Jabari? No, I do not. Do I think this can be deployed in situations and played against teams? Absolutely, and I think it could definitely be a matchup advantage for the Rockets.
See, I'm torn because I fully agree with you. Right now, this is something that you use situationally. Right now, going small with Jabari at the five, because that's what you're kind of doing, right? Jabari doesn't have the true body to bang with some other bigger fives, but I do really wonder, and this is where it gets into the team building argument and you know how you handle the futures of Şengün and Jabari is down the line, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, like when Jabari bulks up a little bit more, starts coming into his NBA body a bit more, like there's a world where you can envision a 240, 250-pound Jabari Smith Jr. who's added quite a bit of muscle to his frame and fits schematically a lot better as a 5/4 if you really wanted to go big with him and do like a Twin Towers kind of lineup than a 3-4-5 tweener. And that's kind of what I envisioned him coming out of the draft. I thought he was going to be a 3-4-5 tweener, somebody who could still be really effective on the perimeter, but maybe situationally you put him on the interior because he's got the good defensive IQ, he's got the length, like whatever. The more that I see him play and the more that we've seen him defend this season, he looks comfortable defending on the interior. Like he looks almost more at home defending the interior than he does defending on the perimeter to me.
I have some stats to back it up. Now, like I said, this is a very small sample size, right? We need to see more of this. I'm not comfortable extrapolating this for future yet, but like I said, this initiates the conversation which you and I are having today. 79th percentile defending roll man and pick and roll. What do you think, Jackson?
Solid.
I'm looking at this from the perspective.
This is
defensively.
But this doesn't differentiate between when he's at the five or the four, right? This is just overall blanket 79th percentile, right?
So this goes into what we talked about, right? When the Rockets are playing him at the four, he's usually going to switch everything, right? Because Alpi's at the five. But versus when he's at the five, they're probably playing in drop coverage. So, yes, I haven't gone and looked at each individual possession. But what I'm saying is just based off of this, right? Like we can look, we don't have to extrapolate. I'm just saying based off the initial data, he's in the 79th percentile in pick and roll defense when defending the roll man, which usually would tell me or lead me to believe this is when he's defending the roll man in those situations and he's playing drop coverage. And now he talked about more being more comfortable at the interior, able to use his length to more of an advantage. When he adds more muscle, he's able to do those different things, right? So I think that's going to be the next step for him, is to be able to continue to add the upper body strength. Now, one more thing I want to discuss when it comes to Jabari is his adductor muscles. There's a person on Twitter. His name is @Skyfall. I think it's Skyfall or @Polarfall. He's one of the great guys when it comes to looking at things from a schematic perspective, X's and O's, body mechanics. And he had brought this up, that Jabari needs to work on his adductor muscles. And for those who are not medical professionals or in PT or not familiar,
getting a lesson from Dr. Bajani right now. I love it.
they're a group of muscles that are in your inner thighs that help serve to bring your legs towards the center of your body. And it's you know, it has to do with your hips. And it's a very big part of being able to move laterally and do those different things. And so I think if he's able to work on that, work on his hips, work just on his lateral quickness overall, then I can say, you know what, Jackson, him at the five is a legitimate option. But just right now, I don't think you are going to see him do that on an everyday basis. I think we have to see how his frame – I think, like you said, he's going to add more weight and his frame is going to fill out great. I think he's going to be a fantastic player just because of his size and his frame. However, and maybe that can help his athleticism. However, that being said, if you're going to play every day and you're going to switch 1 through 5, you have to make sure you have the lateral quickness to do so. And just as of right now, where he is with his lower body and his hips and is able to move laterally, he's just not there yet. And so right now, that's how I feel. Now, can it happen? Can it change? Yes. But right now, I don't feel like that we can say that in the future that he's going to be able to do those things just yet.
Coming up, we're going to see what the future is for Alperen Şengün and Jabari Smith Jr., how those guys can coexist, or whether it means, you know, this newfound data and what we're seeing with Jabari at the five spot, if it means that the Rockets are going to be forced to make a decision between these two guys further down the line. We're going to get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Look, getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we are always growing and changing as individuals. It'd be nice if life came with a user manual that told you how to do certain things and do X, Y, Z, but it doesn't, right? At some point, we're just kind of all winging it. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react to certain things until we talk through things. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnNBA. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So, Ali Khan, having looked at, you know, first Jabari's shooting numbers, now the impact that he's been having defensively over these past few games, and some of the different ways that the Rockets have deployed him defensively throughout this season, I really do wonder, you know, part of my argument, I guess, or part of the reason that I feel more confident maybe than you do about Jabari's placement as a long-term five at the NBA level is not necessarily to play him at the five in a full-scale switching scheme, that playing him at the five might just be a little bit easier for him because he doesn't look comfortable guarding on the perimeter at times. Like, he can, but to your point about the lateral quickness and him working on the adductor muscles, like, there are times when he just, like, and some of it is technique, right? There are times when he closes out. I think we've discussed this before, but there are times when his closeouts,
he just doesn't know how to, he basically doesn't know how to position his hips on closeouts. That's pretty much it. He lunges with his hand, right? He lunges forward, but his hips and being able to turn quickly, just not there yet. And that's why I said he needs to be able to work on those muscles to be able to do that.
And so, but you kind of eliminate the need for that when you play him as the big. And if we haven't really seen this too much this season, but if you play him as the big in not necessarily a traditional drop coverage where, again, the Rockets are very limited, at least in what we see on a game-to-game basis, their version of drop coverage with Şengün is very one- or two-dimensional, if that, right? They do, they put Şengün in a very deep drop, or they'll play him a little bit more at the level of the screen, and that's it, right? They don't get, we rarely, if ever, see them try to send two at the ball, or blitz, or show. Like, they don't do many creative things with Şengün at the five spot. I feel like Jabari, though, with his versatility on defense, even though right now, where he's at, lateral quickness, all that, he might not be best suited to being able to truly switch 1 through 5 because there might be some of those quick twitch guards that might be able to take a little bit more advantage of him out on the perimeter, kind of size him up, put him on an island, that kind of thing. Even though he's still kind of held his own at times this season on certain switches. But if you put him at the five and you can suddenly do a bunch of varied coverages within a single possession, within a single game, right? You could run him at the five and you could do drop on one possession. You could trap on another possession. You could send two at the ball on another possession. Like, you can do so many different things with him defensively at the five that I still wish we would see the Rockets experiment a little bit more with Şengün and some of those things at the five. But it very much feels like, having gotten the answer from Steven Silas, where he's just like, I don't feel comfortable running Şengün in a zone, and I don't feel comfortable blitzing with Şengün or switching with him, any of all of the above, essentially. I think it opens the doorways for more possibility with him at the five, at least. Is that a fair assessment?
I think what you're saying can happen. Now, granted, I looked at the data for this. The data did not match the eye test for me, but one thing I want to share with our listeners that I've been paying attention to, if we're talking about Jabari at the five, has been Tari Eason starting and Tari playing the four at the power forward spot. And Tari's nose for the ball and him wanting to always be around the ball and digging. He's the kind of guy who I see in the future for a Rockets team. If Steven Silas is here, whoever's here in the future coaching wise, that the defensive person is going to employ Tari Eason as the person they want near the ball at all times. So if we're looking at a drop coverage that could potentially be successful, right? You should probably overload the strong side. Strong side is where the side the ball is on. Weak side is where the ball is away from, right? I think that's just want to make sure I give that description. So if we're on the strong side and you have Şengün or Jabari in drop, right? Or high drop, meaning they're closer to the perimeter. Strong side or overloading that strong side means that behind that drop defender, you have somebody already there. They're already tilting that way and shading back and forth. With Tari's wingspan and his ability to always just find a way to get his hands on the ball, just sometimes even his entire arm on the ball, I think it's useful to consider being able to play those types of schemes because just the pension of the player that you have right now. And I think that's something to think about for sure moving forward, Jackson, to your point. I just think right now, what I would like to see moving forward, especially these last handful of games, is a few things. One is I'd like to see Jabari more at the five. I do want to see the drop, but I also want to see the switching continue to get those data points. Two, and this is where I want to get into Alperen Şengün. I want to continue to see the Rockets run this 54 defense kind of scheme where they're essentially switching everything but the Şengün pick and roll. Why is that important? Because you need to be able to, if this is going to be your lineup of the future, you have Şengün there. You have Jabari. You have KJ Martin starting instead of Tari right now. You have KPJ and Jalen. You have to be able to have all those five look and be able to make reads on when to help and when to not help. As of right now, just which Şengün's abilities. Nobody's saying he can't be this way moving forward. He can't improve on it moving forward. As of right now, if you're going to play him in drop, which the Rockets just are doing for the most part, if you're going to play him in drop, you need to be able to have somebody ready to go and commit help side. I want to see consistency with that. If you're going to have Jabari not as the low man, you're going to have him on the weak side. I want to see Jabari do a better job of closing out and contesting long on these three-point shooters, which he struggled with, right? Let him practice his technique. Let him practice being able to use his hips and get into a position where he's either funneling the shooter baseline, taking away from the three-point shot, or he's doing something that is along the lines of what the coaches want from the game plan. Those are the things I'm looking at as things I want to see moving forward. And honestly, Jackson, I do think Jabari and Al P can fit together well in the future. I'm sick and tired of seeing people all over online or in person talk about how the Rockets have all these players. They have to prioritize some over the others. I agree. But as of right now, let's be honest here. Let's be for real. Let's really be for real here. You are not in a situation where you're going to be playing for a play-in spot, even if it's next season with this current roster. You're not in a situation where you're going to be playing in the playoffs. You're trying to build towards the future. You're starting to see not just flashes, but consistent flashes. Even we haven't talked about Kevin Porter Jr. today. The dude is having almost 4-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio, which is excellent. You have Jalen getting back to his free throw ways and drawing fouls. You have KJ, who's one of 6 players in the league shooting 57% of the field and scoring 14 points a game since January 1. I mean, you have all these guys showing consistent flashes, along with Jabari now and LP. Continue to let them do well, figure out what their strengths are, and go from there, right? And when we go back to this Jabari-LP conversation, you know, just let them play together. Let them figure it out. You have 2 guys who are so talented. Each has had a key, significant, great stretch this season. These last 3 to 4 weeks, let them figure it out together. See what you have. You know individually how talented they are. Can they come together as a team? Give them that shot to do so. I don't want to limit one way or the other. I don't want to bench one guy, whatever. I'm all about seeing what they're good at, getting it on tape, and then using this offseason, if Steven Silas is here or if the new coach here, whatever happens, to figure out what is your best lineup. Is it with Jabari at the 5 next season, right? Next season. Is it Tari starting? Is it KG off the bench? Let these guys figure this stuff out now. Get the data and move from there.
Wow. Ali Khan got up on his soapbox on that one. He was preaching for a minute. No, I fully agree with everything you said, right? This season has been about experimentation. It's been about seeing what they have. That's what it needs to be about to close out this season. Nobody is making like firm, you know, commitments to, they've bench Şengün down the stretch and, you know, because Jabari's the 5 in the future.
I heard Josh Christopher's leaving. Since when? Due to the 2nd year player. And you know, honestly, right? He's been averaging.
That's probably news to Josh. No.
He's averaging double digits a lot, you know, in a lot, not just like a handful of games, for multiple games.
He had a fantastic February, and he's carried some of that momentum over into March for sure. I looked up these 2 sets of lineup data because I was curious just as we were navigating that last little discussion. Because I will agree to the point. It is frustrating that this season, it took really until about 3/4 of the way through the season for us to see Steven Silas start to trust Jabari and Tari on the court at the same time. And even then, sometimes it's because he's got Jabari playing like the pseudo 5 role. Rarely have we seen Jabari and Tari share the 3-4 spot on the floor with one another, in conjunction with one another. At times, it's almost been kind of out of necessity. But
they have great chemistry, man.
In 93 minutes played alongside Alperen Şengün, so that's your 3-4-5 combo on the floor, they have a defensive rating of 128.57. So it's not fantastic. It is not fantastic. Good. But I would attribute maybe a chunk of that to, one, lack of reps together, lack of time for those 3 guys to really get, you know, generate some cohesion and understand how to play off of one another. The next lineup, though, that I wanted to point out, because this is the starting lineup, essentially, the 3-man lineup of Al-P, Jabari, and KJ at the 3 spot, that one has a 123.83 defensive rating. So, unfortunately, neither of those lineups have, like, a defensive rating where, like, yeah, like, maybe you tap into something there. But I do fully agree, Tari can be that guy. I think maybe is a bit more equipped than KJ to help kind of round out that front court and really kind of help Jabari and Al-P.
And for me, when I say all these things about individual talent, you need to try to run different coverages to be able to see where they're at, right? I think a lot of these things have to do with you playing in drop for most of the year. I think drop is fine. Drop works. And Al-P is doing a much better job, especially at Lakers game, of playing in drop. But you need to see how he does in high drop a lot more. You need to see how he does in hedging, you know? It's not just about, I feel like when we're looking at defenses, yes, right now the Rockets feel like that drop is their best way to play with Şengün, right? We've already discussed that. There's no need to get defensive or mad or whatever. That's just the way it is right now. However, that being said, I do think it's important to not just look at how Al-P is responding, but how are the help defenders responding as well, right? Let's say if it was Jabari in that situation in ILP, right? And he's playing in drop. No matter what happens in drop, there may be possessions where Jabari gets beat around the paint. Are you as a low man going to help and commit and force the wing defender to rotate to the corner, or are you going to stay back on your shooter, right? These are the things that we have to be able to see. I think, like, you know, looking at the data is important, and I like to look at stats all the time, which is why I share so much on the show. But I think we have to look at the context to it, right? What is going on in the coverage that merits it being successful or not? And when it comes to Jabari and Alp, I think it can be successful. I think we're starting to see that. You're putting Alp on wings, so he's not as involved in pick and roll, which means you're involving Jabari in the three, in this case, could be KJ or Tari, in situations where they're switching, or as I showed and I talked about with the stats, Jabari playing drop in that pick and roll coverage. You're starting to see those things. I want to give Steven Silas credit and the coaching staff credit for doing that. But like you said, you know, it's unfortunate that we haven't seen too much of that throughout the course of the season for us to already have a general idea of what's going to happen. That being said, I'm patient, and I'm glad I was patient. I know it's hard. It's frustrating. You go lose 11 in a row. You know what? That makes no sense. Why are you losing that much? But I think we still got to stay patient, because look what patience has done. You're seeing Jabari come out of this funk and show so much confidence and fire. You're seeing Jalen play well. KPJ, man, give the guy some credit. He's been playing well, you know. So, you know, patience helps. And it's not the best thing. You want to see progress. You want to see growth. I want to see growth. But now we're starting to not just see the individual growth. We're starting to see the team growth as well. And I think that's been great, honestly, to watch.
On that note, Alikhan, you know the drill. Let everybody know where to track you down at.
You can follow me on Twitter at Rockets_insider. There's actually a couple of videos I've put out in the past. One on how well Jabari Smith Jr. and Alpi can play together, especially offensively. Jabari's second out of all of Jabari's assists, second most of them have been to Alpi this season, so they can definitely play well together. And I've also had a video on switching before as well. So a lot of the stuff we talked about today, you can find it on TikTok, on my Twitter. So make sure you follow me on there. But thank you, Jackson, for bringing me on.
That's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Give us your thoughts on Jabari Smith Jr. and how he pairs with Alperen Şengün, his defense, his shooting, all of that in the YouTube comments. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.